Allah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to DMDR, Dating, Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage. I'm your host, Jeremy Connor. This podcast is straight and LGBTQ friendly, as we all have similar problems facing matters of
love.
Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 7. This is going to be a little bit of a continuation of episode 6, Knowing When to Call It Quits. I had a couple of people who sent me some messages. One of the two is a really good one. And after that, something I would like to talk about is how to not be an ooky person to somebody else. Because I heard something tonight that I really didn't like. So moving right along, let's go into the messages. So this first one is concerning not only her love for somebody else, but for her hobby.
So how I knew when to call it quits in a relationship was kind of like a precedent that I set from the beginning. I was doing mixed martial arts, and when I started dating someone, I would always say, straight off the bat, this is what I do, and it takes up a lot of my time. And if you start complaining about it, then things are not going to work out. And I would always tell them, don't make me pick between you or mixed martial arts, because it will not be you. And so I would start dating. So as soon as they would start complaining that I didn't spend enough time with them, and I did spend too much time doing mixed martial arts, I ended the relationship. Some people that I dated thought that that was really harsh, but if they can't be supportive and they weren't able to deal with me being gone for fights or the consistent training and how much time it took, then there wasn't a point in having a relationship with them because they weren't supportive. So I really think that if you're going to get into a relationship, the best way to know when to call it quits is to already have that predetermined. Decide from the beginning what is too much so that when it happens, you can call it off right then and there, and you don't have this prolonged nonsense of a relationship that it just eats away at you. It's just not worth it.
So what I really like about this is that she was very much up front at the beginning. Like, hey, you know, this is a hobby of mine that I love and it takes a lot of time. So how that should have went is that the other person should have said, hey, I require a lot of attention. And they could have seen if they could meet in the middle or if it was just not going to work out from the beginning. And that would have saved that person a lot of heartache in the long run. But I mean, she didn't lie to him. She said, hey, you know, this is something that I love and it takes time. I gathered that she had been burnt before with that stuff where some said, oh yeah, I can handle it, and then it fizzled out. And so she probably got a gutful of that and was just, that's why it sounded so harsh. Like, hey, if you start complaining, it's done. And that probably comes from her having maybe some fairly long-term relationships that just fizzled out because of it. And so she's giving them a fair warning. So good on her. She didn't lie, and she gave that other person the instruction manual on how to deal with her. Again, good on her, and I hope that the other person found their match.
Oh yeah.
So coming up is message number 2. You make your own decision on this one.
Well, I tell you, man, I knew it was time to call it quits when she reached around, stuck her thumb in my ass, and I was like, oh, hell no, we just can't. You know what I'm saying? It's not how I rock, baby. It's not how I roll. Ain't no fingers going in my booty hole. That's why I knew it was time to cut it off. And how it turned out, well, went back and did it again.
Oh my. So that sounds like that wasn't a breakup after all. I think that man found love where he wasn't looking for love. Hey now, no kink shaming here. And you fellas out there, let your wife do a little finger blasting back there. It may change your life. For many of the ladies, that is like a cheat code to a quick male orgasm if the dude just ain't, you know, skeet skeet skeeting.
Oh yeah!
Not naming names, but I know a missus that's like, hey, my hand's getting tired or whatever.
Yeah.
Right up the old backside, and it's shameful flecks of jizz spraying everywhere.
Howdy!
So like I'm saying, no kink shaming here, mister. You do you, boo. You do you. So after this real quick break, we're gonna go into the second part, which is gonna be how not to be a ooky douchebag to your significant other.
What up, everybody? Wes here from Blind Rabbit Vape Supply. I wanted to give you guys a quick update on all the new stuff we got in. So lots and lots and lots of juice, lots of vapeable CBD and more on the way, more flower in stock, more edibles.
And more of your low-cost vape juices and supplies at Blind Rabbit Vapors, 2330 North Westwood Boulevard, Poplar Bluff, Missouri.
So, I heard this fellow telling a story earlier today, talking about how he met somebody at a bar, and he knew that person was married. And they were talking, and this person was drunk, and was talking about how her husband was watching the kids at home while she was out partying, letting her have a good time, but that she had her overnight bag with her, kind of leading on like she was down for the old sausage. And so I instantly am like, what an ooky, gross person, because her husband's at home watching the kids, let her have a night out with the ladies, I guess. She's out looking for dick. And that's a shitty thing to do to somebody. I don't know the entire backstory, but that's just gross. You're a gross person if you do shit like that. It's the same with dudes doing that to their women, or their dudes, or whatever, you know? If you're in a monogamous relationship with somebody, and you pull some horse shit like that, you do not deserve that relationship. And if the other person cheated first, and you think that gives you the right, you need counseling. Do it for them kids' sake, because if you're running around behind your spouse's back doing shit like that, your soul is tarnished. And maybe her husband was not a good dude. I can only go by assumptions, but it still don't make it right. If you're in an agreement to be with one person and one person only, that's how it ought to be. You know, if you have some sort of arrangement where it's like, hey, you know, on Wednesdays, I'm going to go out looking for wiener. And on Fridays, hey, you go looking for some pootie. Y'all have discussed it. You're adults. But to be sneaky? Oh, if you're sneaky, you're... Okay, so I've been cheated on, and that hurts. So cheating is like a dog shitting in a bag full of shit. It was bad, but then it became worse. So don't be a bag of dog shit. Don't cheat. And if it got to the point where you're cheating, maybe it's time to call it quits and part ways, because if I was being cheated on and I found out, you know, the trust is gone. And 9 times out of 10, when the other person's sorry, they're sorry they got caught. And there are a lot of things that people kind of do behind each other's backs that they're like, oh, that's not cheating. And it may not be technically, but I tell you what, you're definitely playing in the danger zone. Flirting and texting. If you're texting anybody behind your spouse's back that you would not want your spouse to know, I kind of chalk that up there with cheating. Because if your person asked for your phone right now, how cool would you be with that? If you're like, not cool at all, there's stuff on here that ain't none of their business. You know, what do you got going on? I mean, I'm sure some of y'all are looking up embarrassing things that are kind of personal. But if it's text message, oh, you are probably dabbling in the cheating zone. So, you know, watch what you text. Watch out for the flirting that can escalate. And I'm not trying to force my beliefs upon you as far as monogamy. I'm just saying that if you have agreed to monogamy, then monogamy is what it is. There ain't none of the side shit going on. Don't do to somebody that you wouldn't want done to you. Like, us guys are especially bad about this. We want to just have sex with the earth. We want to stick our ding-dongs and everything that moves. But by shits, we don't want our person to cheat on us. And you know why? Because you, that's your possession. You don't want someone playing with your damn toys, but you like playing with other people's toys, you asshole. So, if you're married, and y'all have agreed that you're not sleeping around, you know, keep your naughty bits off and out of other people. There's no in-between on that. If you're in an open relationship, hey, sky's the damn limit, I suppose. And it don't matter what kind of relationship you got as far as monogamous-wise. One of the nice things about having monogamy for me is, like, my wife, you know, as far as I know, me and her is going to get old together. She's seen me in my prime. She's been with me through the death of my dad. I've been there for the death of her grandma and her dad. We've got a lot of history together, and we're always going to have things to talk about when we're old, because we've been through the damn trenches together for, you know, a good 13, 14 years now. And I work at a hospital, and I see old couples all the time, and it's sad, but it's also like a beautiful thing too, because you'll see couples having to say goodbye to their spouse all the time there. And it's the saddest thing, but it's like, they've shared this bond for so many years, and even at the end, you know, there's somebody sticking with them. That person's going to hurt for the rest of their lives, which is tragic, but amazing in the same end. Like, I think ahead, like too far ahead with stuff. I know one of these days, my kids are going to have to bury me. And it's kind of a relief for me, but I feel terrible for them because I know what it was like to bury my dad. It was awful. But I've told my kids many times, if I go before y'all do, then I won. Because I do not want to see anything happen to my kids or my wife. I think in the end, I've won if it goes down like that. And I know that's a dark turn for all of this, but when you're in a monogamous relationship and y'all are supposed to be tied together, you know, for the better and the worse and all that, all that better and worse shit has really built a bond, and you're a dick and a half if you break that. Because don't just be thinking, hey, you know, we're going to get married and have this awesome relationship and do things together. Because that's just part of it. You're going to do amazing, fun things together, but you're going to go through some hard shit because that's what life is. You're not just taking on all the fun stuff. You're taking on the horse shit too. The mood swings and the getting laid off work and tragedy. And all the while, you know, you're making history together. Don't let your fickle pecker or your greedy clam bits mess that up. Because a good relationship takes time, and a lot of it. It takes time and tragedy and the good stuff. And there are couples that went through some real bad cheating and they worked it out, which is good. But you're always going to have that doubt. So communication and honesty, y'all. I'm not playing with that. If there's something that bugs you about that other person, you let them know. Be tactful, but don't let them railroad you, and don't lie. If something bugs you, it bugs you. And you can't apologize for something bugging you. Just the same way, if there's something about you that bugs them, they need to let you know, and you need to address it. I know of a fellow from years back that said him and his wife never had sex. And I was like, oh man, that sounds awful. Does she do anything for you? And he's like, no. And I'm like, oh damn, that sucks. And I'm like, do you ask? And he's like, yeah, a lot, but it's always no. And I don't know the entire backstory, because I've known of people that were abused, and that really has hurt their views on sex. And that's something that you really need to go. If you have any hangovers or something important like that, you really need to get that out in the beginning. He sounded like he did pretty good with it. He just kind of rolled with it. He's like, it sucks ass, but I can manage. But I wonder if he knew in the beginning, would he have still been with that person? I'm serious. Lay all the cards out on the table when you're in a relationship. When you're dating, just kind of dip your toes in the water as far as getting into the serious stuff. But when things are starting to get serious, honesty is the best policy, because you can fake your way through a relationship for a while, but that ain't gonna last forever. I'm talking, you need to talk about your hang-ups, your likes and dislikes, even if they seem silly, because anything that seems silly is actually a really big deal. I forgot to mention that earlier, that someone had wrote me a message saying that one of her put-offs was nasty feet. Like, if your toenails were gross and unkempt and unclipped and stuff, that was an instant no for her, because she said that was one of her check-off things of if you took care of yourself. Now, some of us have nasty-ass feet. I'm one of them. I look like a damn hobbit. It's like all the hair that should have went to my chest went to my feet. It's like never having to wear socks. But anyway, my wife don't care about my nasty, hairy feet. And I don't. So my wife is a hippie through and through, and she doesn't shave her armpits. And I know a lot of y'all are instantly going, gross, fucking gross. But it don't bother me. At first it did, I ain't gonna lie. At first I'm like, this is not for me. But she told me the reason why. She said that it was just uncomfortable. And she gave me a few other reasons, but long story short, she don't stink. I got used to the hairiness. And that's the whole thing of with sticking with somebody, is you get used to things over time. I'm getting old and pudgy. I've got stage 5 dad bod, you know? And she stuck with me, starting in my prime up to this sloppy mess, and she still loves me. I see couples all the time that are just way overweight, not very healthy, but they act just as happy as damn clams with each other. And part of that's because they made history with each other. It was that slow turning in from what they were to what they are now. And to each other, they're just like they're in their 20s again, and they never left. So stick with your person. I've been in a lot of relationships, and every one of them we had a little bit of history, but nothing like what I've got now. I don't want to start over with somebody else. And I mean, I'm human too. There's times where I'm like, oh my, this person is hot. Wonder what it'd be like if, but they get shut down real fast when you're just like, you know, for a few minutes of fun ain't worth destroying my family and what I've built with my person. People's bad about, you know, how do I feel right now? I feel horny. And we're human, and that's just like a human reaction. But then you instantly got to be like, how would that hurt my other person? Because a little bit of booty is not worth destroying your life. Now, if you're in a relationship and y'all ain't getting along, that don't give you no right to cheat. The proper way to go about it is try to fix the marriage you can. If you can't, go through the proper channels, get your divorce, and then, you know, look for somebody. But I wouldn't suggest getting into a relationship with somebody even when you're separated, because you might get back together with your person and, you know, there you are with egg on your face. Oops, I slipped my sexy bits into something else. Sorry. I hope for every one of y'all, if y'all get into like a steady relationship that turns into like an engagement and into marriage, just know how damn serious it is. People don't take this shit serious no more. I sound like an old man, I know, but there's a time to sleep around and party, and then there's a time to be like, all right, that shit's behind me. This is who I'm with. And until you're 100% sure that that's what you're gonna do, you might want to wait a bit. So when me and my wife got together, I was used to doing what I wanted, when I wanted to, and with whoever I wanted to. And she threw a monkey wrench in that, and I was kind of an asshole. Like, I was lashing out at her because I was mad that I couldn't just go out and philander and try to go fishing with my ding-dong, you know? I missed that freedom. So I was being a dick to her, and she didn't remotely deserve it. Which, if you've heard earlier episodes, she's not the only person I've ever done that to. So I'm hoping what y'all are hearing now is a new and improved Jeremy, because I was a shitbird many, many times. I would go between being the good guy and being a bad guy. And I would like to stay being the good guy. And now at 40, I would look like an absolute goober trying to go dating again. I mean, like I used to. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being 40 plus and dating. But man, the idea of going to clubs again? Good God, that sounds awful. I don't want to start with somebody fresh. You know, the butterflies, you know, was cool. But maybe I just want to stay home and watch some Bonanza or some Gunsmoke and not have to worry about my hair being parted just right, smelling pretty. And kids, I'm not jealous of y'all. Dating's hard, because when you're dating, you're all made up, your hair's perfect, you're smelling good, you got them expensive shoes on, the nice expensive clothes. And I've lived that, and it's expensive as hell, it's a pain in the ass. And I'm not a slob now, but hell, me and my wife loves going to Goodwill. We ain't got nobody to impress but each other, and we have a hell of a time. Like, we have our fights, and there's times that we don't like each other, but it's getting shorter and shorter with shit like that. Because 9 times out of 10, if we're in the same room, we're pestering the dog shit out of each other in a good way, or we're talking, enjoying each other's company. And the older you get, like, I still like me some booty. Oh, your sweet little Jer Bear is thinking about getting a vasectomy because I miss raw dogging. Ooh, so bad. But Jeremy messed up and looked at a YouTube surgery of it having done, and I have pussied out. But then, you know, a couple of months go by and I'm like, oh, I hate condoms. So be thinking about me, because I am really thinking about getting this done, because I've got 3 kids under my belt. 3 kids are enough, especially for a 40-year-old. My youngest is almost a year and a half. I'm getting too old for this shit. I love my kiddos, but I don't want to be like a 50-year-old father to an infant, so I don't need to be making no more kids. 3's a good round number. I forgot what I was talking about. But anyway, fellas, I'm bad at taking my own advice, but if it came between you getting a vasectomy and your woman getting the tubal and all that stuff, just get the vasectomy, because them girls have to go through hell with what they gotta go through. I've seen the surgery. It's gross as hell. You're vulnerable because your balls and wiener are displayed out for all to see. And they make an incision and they mess with your wiener pipes and all that. I don't know the complete gist of it, but I do know that your ball sack's gonna hurt for a couple days. But ladies have to get their horseshit roto-rootered. It is awful what they have to go through, so just get it done if it comes down to it. I'm eventually going to cave in and do it, because like I said, raw dogging. I miss it. I miss it terribly. But anyway, y'all, I think I'd like to talk about kids and how it affected your relationship. And I'm talking like having kids before you got married, having kids with somebody else before you got married, being married and having kids. How did it change the dynamic of your marriage? Because for me, I have several different things that happened through different parts of my life. Like I have been a young parent at 21. I've been, you know, a parent in my 30s. And now I'm a parent, an older parent, that's 40. So I've kind of hit that whole span. And each one has been different depending on my age. So please send me your Facebook Messenger messages to me. You can check me out on my Facebooks, the Jeremy Connor one. There's the Hungry Purple Kitten one. If I don't know you and you try to friend me on Facebook, I probably won't accept you. And it's nothing personal. It's just I get so much spam messages on Facebook that I just assume that it's probably fake. So no offense if I don't accept your friend request, because it's probably because I don't think you're a real person. And before I sign off, I'd like to give a shout out to Holonetic Leggings. They don't have a website up yet, but you can look up Cedric Aaron Holloway on Facebook. His name is spelled Cedric Aaron Holloway, and he's on Facebook, and he makes these really nice leggings. I believe they're just for the ladies. Help support somebody start their own business. And if you're in the St. Louis area, go to Restless Indigo for advertising and marketing. They take care of advertising, marketing, photography, videography. They do a little bit of everything. I know the fellow myself, very good guy. You can reach him on Facebook at Restless Indigo. That is spelled Restless, N-D-G-O. They're on Facebook. You can also get a hold of them at 314-885-2978. Alright, that's it, y'all. Y'all take care.
DMDR is a Hungry Purple Kittens production, written and produced by Jeremy Connor. Please message DMDR DMDR with Jeremy at gmail.com.